Coming up on Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. With two preseason wins in the books, the Texans are now looking forward to Saturday night's matchup with the New Orleans Saints. We'll get you set for what many consider to be the most important game of the preseason with the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. If you follow college football, you've certainly heard of Case Keenum and the prolific passing numbers he put up while at the University of Houston. Well, now he's competing for a spot on the Texans roster. We'll visit with the NCAA's all-time passing leader and get his thoughts on adjusting to life in the NFL.
It has been a transition, but I'm working, you know, just as hard as I worked in my last system. I'm working to perfect this system, and I love it.
We'll also recap the first down dad field day as special teams coordinator Joe Marciano and some of the Texans' top players came together for some fun with local fathers and their little ones. We'll also get to know defensive back Brandon Harris a little bit better.
Best receiver you ever had to cover at any level?
Andre Johnson.
There you go.
By far.
And we'll be joined by quarterback TJ Yates.
Let's go, baby. Dominate on you. 1, 2, 3, dominate.
It's all coming up next on Texans Huddle.
Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. HCC is the official education partner of the Houston Texans. Now, here's your host, Bart Hennes.
Hi, everybody, and welcome inside Reliance Stadium for another jam-packed edition of Texans Huddle. This week, we'll be visiting with local legend Case Keenum. We'll also find out more about a project near and dear to the heart of special teams coordinator Joe Marciano, and quarterback TJ Yates will join us as well. But let's get the show started by taking a look back at Saturday night's game, the second preseason game of the year, against the San Francisco 49ers right here at Reliance Stadium. Unlike most preseason games, the first quarter of this one had some regular season feel to it as two Super Bowl contenders tried to impose their will on each other. But with all of the big, tough players and star caliber players on the field, it was the smallest guy out there who stole the show. For the second straight game, Trendon Holliday flashed his world-class speed and took a kick return to the house. The 87-yard beauty was one of several good returns he had in this game. The first team offense had a few execution issues, but for the most part, they looked good. And Matt Schaub got to throw to Andre Johnson, something that didn't happen much last year due to injuries suffered by both players. They hooked up on this 43-yard pass play, which was the Texans' longest from scrimmage.
Yeah, it felt good to be back in the huddle with him. You know, it's been a while since both of us were out there. We were talking about that, you know, before the game. But, you know, it's like riding a bike for us, you know, just being on the same page and, you know, giving him a chance. And he made a big play there, just like he always does. But it was great to be back out there with him.
But it was Lestar Jean who made the biggest impact among the receivers. On the starters' final possession, they put together an 80-yard scoring drive, during which Gene had three catches, including a 9-yard touchdown. It was the first time Gene had gotten into the end zone as a pro.
I was trying to think of a celebration, but I couldn't even think that quick on my feet. But I was just happy that, you know, I was just blessed to be in that position because there's so many people in the world that I know, you know, who just wanted to do that, and I was just the one that do it. I'm just happy that God blessed me with that opportunity.
Defensively, the Texans really got after the 49ers' quarterbacks, but their run defense still needs some work. Tim Jamison got the start in place of an injured J.J. Watt, and he played very well, registering a sack and a couple of quarterback pressures. He liked the intensity of playing against the starters of a playoff-caliber team.
It was a great test. I mean, they came off the ball. They surprised us with some of the plays that we didn't see on film, and, you know, so I commend them. They play hard, and I just, you know, that's... We got to take it. We're going to face adversity, you know? So I'm just glad we responded like we did.
And we are joined now by the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Thanks for being with us once again.
Bart, it's a pleasure.
Great to see the team perform the way they did against a very good playoff caliber team. You heard Tim Jamison talking about that. Jamison played well. In fact, the whole defense, keeping those guys out of the end zone was impressive.
Well, and that was the bottom line, keep them out of the end zone. Even though they gave up rushing yards in the first half to the total of nearly 100 as a unit, that's not what they want to see. That's not what they want to do. Some of those were on draw plays and things that can be corrected. I think we overreact to preseason games, a quarter, quarter and a half, however long the starters play, because in a normal game, look, you'd make adjustments at the half. The flow of the game would change. if you're up 7-0 or 10-7 at the half, it's no big deal, or you're down, you execute in the second half.
Yeah, this is all about getting guys reps and seeing how they perform against another team. Who else stood out besides Jamison to you on the defensive side?
I like the way the secondary looks. I really do. And I'm entertained by Brandon Harris, okay? And I know he's on the program today, but the way he has emerged from year one, kind of a redshirt year for him, if you will, deactivated much of the time, to year two, making plays, that's big. And Kareem Jackson, to me, year three, seems like a different person on and off the field. That rookie season is far in the rearview mirror, and he is going to take it upon himself, I think, to get the majority of snaps this year. There will be no platooning as there was last year with Jason Allen.
All right, on the offensive side, great to see Andre Johnson out there catching a long ball there from Matt Schaub. Those two hardly played at all together last year, so that was good to see. But that battle at the wide receiver spot is pretty intense right now.
It really is, because Keyshawn Martin, I think, is a lock, obviously, to get a lot of playing time. Lestar Jean continues to catch everything around him. And everybody's wondering about Devere Posey. Didn't get a lot of reps in the San Francisco game because of the way the flow of the game went, said Gary Kubiak. So I expect to see more of him, certainly against the Minnesota Vikings next week, and maybe against the Saints in New Orleans. They're not going to give up on Posey. This is just an early in his career sort of revving up process after missing last year. But I like the depth they have right now. Wide receiver 6 will make this team, I think, because Trindon Holiday, you have to pencil him onto this 53-man roster.
How about the battle at right tackle between Newton and Butler?
Well, you saw Newton start at Reliant Stadium. I think Butler is a good candidate to play a lot against the Saints because he's more experienced, noisy building. The Superdome goes crazy no matter what time of year. So I think you could see a situation where these two guys actually during the regular season part platoon a bit the way they did with Dwayne Brown in his rookie year and Ephraim Salaam. So Newton might be the guy eventually, but Butler's still going to play. They both make the team for sure.
Yes, yeah, so that's nice that you have two guys of that caliber at that position. All right, last thing, the kicking battle. Shane Graham with a couple of field goals, 48, 49 yards. He looked good.
Yeah, he did, but you drafted Randy Bullock in the fifth round. He's got to make the squad somehow. He misses a 51-yarder, not the end of the world. I got to see better range on kickoffs for Randy Bullock. I know he wants to see that as well. And I think Randy Bullock, the way his mental makeup goes, he's going to make some big kicks for this team. It's a battle, but Randy Bullock has to have the edge. I mean, as a draft choice, you'd have to think he's going to get it.
And we'll find out more in that battle, as well as some of these others coming up against the Saints. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Mark.
Time for our first break here on Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. But when we come back, we'll show you what Matt Schaub and some of his Texans teammates did to have some fun with Houston area dads. Then later in the show, T.J. Yates will be my guest. Welcome back to Texans Huddle, presented by HCC. Make sure to log on to HoustonTexans.com to vote for the Texans' August Whataburger Community Player of the Month. Up for the honor are left guard Wade Smith, who was nominated by Chris Myers, linebacker Daryl Sharpton, who was nominated by Brian Cushing, and nose tackle Sean Cody, who was nominated by Antonio Smith. The winner and the player who nominated him will make an appearance at a Houston area Whataburger next month. So get online and vote. Well, we all know that in the state of Texas, football is king, and a lot of kids spend a lot of time in their front yards tossing around the football with the old man. Well, this past summer, the Texans hosted a field day so that dads could have some fun with their kids inside the Methodist Training Center. The First Down Dads Field Day was held on June 9th, and it was a day to remember for everyone in attendance as Houston area fathers brought their kids to the Texans practice facility for some fun with their favorite Texans. This event was especially close to the heart of special teams coordinator Joe Marciano, who helped start the event after participating in a similar program while he worked with Tony Dungy in Tampa Bay.
At that time, I was a mentor for a young boy without a dad, and it was awesome. As you can see here, it's a great event, and I just try to take that idea and bring it over here to Houston.
To bring all the fathers and their kids out, you know, it's to have a little field day. To bring them closer together, to interact with them. It's just a great experience.
In addition to some fun on the football field, the dads in attendance also got to hear some motivational speeches from both players and coaches.
Love and discipline go hand in hand. I swear to God, my son is so disciplined, he's more disciplined than half the guys I coach.
But it wasn't all listening for the dads, as they were able to get out on the field for some fun with their youngsters as well.
Yeah, it's fun. I was surprised how much interaction the dads have had with all of us, too. They're kind of hopping in the drills, having a good time, so it's a good day for us.
For the Texans players and coaches who are also fathers, this day was especially important.
Being a father myself, to see other fathers interact with their kids and bring them closer together on a Saturday morning. It's just a lot of fun.
I got a job, but this is my primary role of being a dad. Hanging out with kids is great. That's the best thing to do in the world. That's what you live for.
These memories that they have here, meeting Matt Schaub, telling them, the dads, hey, you're the quarterback for your house, like I'm the quarterback for your kids. It's invaluable. It's precious.
And although rookie kicker Randy Bullock isn't a father, the day was just as meaningful for him.
Coach Marciano asked me to do that. I jumped all over it. You know, I lost my father when I was 14 years old. You know, these are the times that you remember, you know, as a kid growing up, spending quality time with your dad.
Time for another quick break, but when we come back, we'll visit with cornerback Brandon Harris and find out how much he learned in his first year of NFL football. Then we'll get Case Keenum's thoughts on going from leading the Houston Cougars to a 13-win season to fighting for a spot on the Houston Texans roster.
Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network. By the Memorial Hermann Iron Man Sports Medicine Institute, bringing elite care to all athletes. And by the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans scratch-off from the Texas Lottery today. Maybe it's your lucky day.
The Houston Texans will host the Running of the Bulls 5K Walk and Run on Sunday, September 23rd at Reliant Park. The event will begin at 8 a.m. and will be accompanied by a Toro's Kids 1K for children 12 and under. Registration is just $30 if you can sign up by August 31st at HoustonTexans.com. The race will take you throughout Reliant Park and will conclude on the floor of Reliant Stadium. So sign up today at HoustonTexans.com. And welcome back to Texans Huddle. We are joined now by Brandon Harris. And you may have noticed if you watched the game the other night, every time they threw to this guy's receiver, they were blanketed. You're doing a great job out there in man-to-man coverage in this camp so far.
Oh, thanks a lot. You know, I enjoy going out there, having fun with my teammates. And, you know, in the defensive back room, it's always competitive to see who can get the most pass breakups and interceptions. So I just go out there and compete for my name to be in the hat.
Well, you know, I know last year was difficult for you as you were trying to sort of adjust to life in the NFL. What's the difference this year as opposed to last year, where you have a better feel for what's expected of you? You've had a chance to be around some of the guys. How much difference does that make?
Oh, man, it's like night and day. I underestimate how much of a difference it would be just by lifestyle in general, even off the field, you know. So I had to get so many things in line and so many things corrected to understand, okay, this is how it's going to be playing in the NFL. This is how I have to manage my time. This is what I have to do to compete and get better. And I worked very hard during the offseason, and yeah, I'm glad it's finally starting to pay off.
Yeah, you had all the OTAs. You've got a veteran back there, a Pro Bowl guy, and Jonathan Joseph helping you out, as well as, you know, Vance Joseph. And of course, you've got a defensive coordinator that's one of the best in the league in the last 30 years. How much has all that played into your improvement going into this year?
100%. You know, it's been so great being able to be coached by a guy like Vance Joseph and Coach Wade Phillips, and just the whole OTA process and just how encouraging our secondary is. Guys like Jonathan Joseph and Danielle Manning and GQ and Kareem and all those guys, everybody's just so encouraged and everybody wants to see everyone gets better. So that's been the thing that, you know, I've been able to rally around, just watching those guys and watch how they work and just try to, you know, compare myself to those, do what good guys do. And, you know, we have a great group, so I just do what they do.
All right, let's do a little first and 10. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Chance for the fans to get to know you a little better. All right, first down. Which one of your teammates would you say is the best dressed in that locker room?
Oh, we have a lot of interesting guys. I have to go with J-Jo. I say J-Jo dressed real nice.
He does look nice. Mm-hmm. All right. The craziest thing someone's ever asked you to sign?
A woman asked me to sign a bra before. That was pretty unique.
On or just holding it?
Just holding it.
So it could have been a little crazier.
Yeah.
Okay. Third down. You're a Miami guy. Who's the greatest Miami Hurricane of all time?
Sean Taylor, without a doubt.
You think?
Sean Taylor.
Tragically left us early. That's right. All right. Fourth down. Best receiver you ever had to cover at any level?
Andre Johnson.
There you
By
go.
By far. By far, Andre Johnson.
And Andre's a big fan of yours, by the way. He was talking you up before they drafted you.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. I've been knowing Andre since I was about 5 years old. So, you know, I appreciate being on the same team as him.
Well, Brandon Harris, we appreciate you being with us, and best of luck against New Orleans.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
When we come back on Texans Huddle, presented by HCC, he was the star quarterback about 6 miles away at the University of Houston. Now he's lining up under center in a Houston Texans uniform. We'll visit with rookie Case Keenum. Then fellow quarterback T.J. Yates will join us to talk about his performance last week against the 49ers and where the team goes from here.
First and 10 was presented by Houston Community College. HCC is the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
Third preseason game is the biggest test for us. We play the most as starters. It's always a pretty tough game, and this year we have New Orleans on the road. So to really, we'll really be able to gauge ourselves as a team, as an offense, to see how good we are and how ready we are for the rest of the regular season.
So preseason game number 3 is upon us, and a lot of people will tell you this is the most important one because this is the game where the starters will play well into the second half. But it's also an important game for all the guys still trying to make this roster. One of those players is quarterback Case Keenum. And, of course, Houston football fans know him well. You watched him set many NCAA and school passing records, leading the Cougars to a 13-win season playing in that air raid offense. Now he's trying to learn a new offense and earn a spot on an NFL roster. After leading the University of Houston Cougars to their best season in school history and setting NCAA records for all-time passing yards and passing touchdowns, Case Keenum immediately began to make the adjustments necessary to play quarterback in the NFL, working with renowned quarterbacks coach Jerry Rome. In the lead-up to the draft, Case would showcase his skills for various teams, including the Texans. But as the 2012 draft came to a close, Case hadn't received a phone call from anyone. That was until the final pick was about to be made, and for a brief moment, Case thought he was going to be picked by the Colts and would be labeled as 2012's Mr. Irrelevant.
I guess where I was at, the TV was a little late, and so it was during the last draft pick, like right as the pick was coming in, so I guess the draft was over. But I didn't know it yet, and you know, I thought maybe I was the last pick, but it wound up being Coach Durrell over here, so I was glad that it all worked out.
Since joining the Texans as a free agent, Case has been hard at work taking the skill set he built running the air raid offense over on Cullen Boulevard and tweaking it to run the offense used here on Kirby.
It is definitely different. You know, there's a lot of things that are different. There are things that are similar. Right now it's more different than they are the same, but you know, I think being able to incorporate little things here and there, different reads and different concepts, but at the same time, just getting in the huddle and being able to say a sentence of a play, and then being able to come out, you know, from under center and be able to do all that stuff. It has been a transition, but I'm working, you know, just as hard as I worked in my last system. I'm working to perfect this system and you know, what they expect from a quarterback here. And I love it.
So while he's still learning each and every practice, his raw talent alone has caught the attention of his more experienced peers.
You don't play that much college football at that level and throw for 19,000 plus yards and all the touchdowns he did without having a great skill set. And I think he can really throw the football, and he's very smart, highly intelligent, understands defenses and the passing game. I mean, there's just a transition for him, like anybody, to a new offense, NFL style offense, and, you know, working under center, which I know has been, a lot has been made about that, but he's looked very comfortable doing it. And so I think, he's got a ton of potential and good things ahead of him.
And even though he's now fully entrenched in NFL football and focused on winning a spot on the Texans roster, Houston sports fans will never forget the milestones he set wearing the scarlet and white, something he hasn't exactly had much time to reflect on in the last 8 months.
You know, on down the line, I think I'll enjoy it a little more. I'm pretty occupied right now with you know, what's going on. But, you know, it's been great, my time here in Houston. And, you know, I wouldn't trade, you know, any of this time for anywhere else. And, you know, more than that, just being able to play with the guys I've been able to play with and win the games that we did. You know, obviously going out this past year and winning 13 games was really special. And, you know, I wouldn't trade that for anything. Well, I'd trade it for 14 wins, but, you know.
Time for our final break here on Texans Huddle, presented by HCC. But don't go anywhere, because when we come back, T.J. Yates will join me to discuss life after leading the Texans to their first ever playoff appearance. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. We're joined now by quarterback T.J. Yates, coming off a pretty good performance against the 49ers. Assess your performance for us after looking at some videotape.
You know, they're a very good football team, mm-hmm. very good defense. You know, we had a good game as far as the twos go in Carolina, moved the ball well. And that's one thing we didn't do very well against the 49ers. We were very very sloppy, had some penalties, had some breakdowns, and we could never really get into a rhythm. You know, us as a group of twos, we really didn't feel that we moved the ball well down the field and couldn't really ever get into a rhythm.
Yeah, and for the backups, that's really the key for preseason, is develop timing and rhythm, isn't it? Because that's when you're going to get the majority of your reps.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's one thing of getting the plays down and learning things, but just going, being able to go out there and run your group cleanly was one thing that you know, I really wanted to get done, and it didn't get done that day.
Yeah. Talk about how your life has changed. I know you've answered a ton of questions about last year, and it's time to move on and all that. But, you know, when the season was over, you went back home, and everybody was just, you know, so ecstatic over the way you had performed. How did that change things for you in the offseason?
You know, it was a little different, especially towards the end of the year. I was, you know, getting a lot more, you know, publicity and everything. Mm-hmm. So going back home, there was a lot more people to meet, a lot more autographs to sign and things to do, you know, just around the community, which was great. Mm-hmm. You know, it was good to go back and be recognized, you know, in my hometown. And, you know, a lot of fans, a lot of new fans there that, you know, really supported me throughout the season. So, you know, it was good, but life definitely changed from before.
And how does it change your perspective coming into this training camp? Compare this camp to last year, where I'm sure your head was swimming a little bit.
Night and day.
Yeah.
You know, coming off of the lockout, you know, the rest of the rookies and I, you know, we really only had 1 week of knowing the offense or even being in meeting rooms with the coaches. So going into that first training camp practice, I mean, we were all over the place, mm-hmm. especially myself. And that time as well, Matt Leinart couldn't practice yet because the free agency. So I was taking all the twos and the threes because we only had me and Matt with two quarterbacks. So, you know, I was taking tons of reps, learning on the run, you know, kind of thrown into the fire, you know, in training camp, which kind of, you know, was the same thing what happened during the season. So, you know, I was kind of used to it, but, you know, a lot of things happened during that training camp, and I learned a lot.
So you come into this camp, and clearly Matt Schaub is the guy, but as his backup, you want to go out there and compete every day. You want to push him. Still, you want to be the starter, even though you know that's not going to happen. So it's kind of an interesting perspective on your part, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's a struggle sometimes to kind of stay motivated to be able to, you know, to really have a goal.
Yeah.
You know, so my goal every day is just to go out and get better. You know, I know that I had a lot of mistakes last year and a lot of things that I can improve on. So, you know, going out and really just trying to have clean practices, do everything right, and prepare myself as much as possible for, you know, if I do have to step into that role again.
TJ Yates, two more chances to get ready for the regular season with the Saints coming up and then the Minnesota Vikings. Best of luck in both those games.
Thanks
for being with us. And that'll do it for this week's edition of Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. We'll see you again next Thursday at 5:30 and 11:00.